Welcome to the English with Kirsty podcast from englishwithkirsty.com. I'm Kirsty, and I support multilingual professionals to discover their voice in English. On the podcast, we talk about language, learning, and intentional communication. We hear about my guests' language journeys and share tips that help you communicate in a way that makes sense and sounds like you. Welcome back to the English with Kirsty podcast. And today I have another new guest who hasn't been on the podcast before, but it's somebody that I've got to know through LinkedIn and through her newsletter. And I thought she would make a really good guest to come and talk with me and talk with you as well. So Valentina, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank
Hi.
you for having me.
Great to have you here. So maybe let's start with finding out a bit about who you are. So your story with languages, why you decided to work in this field.
Okay, so hi everyone. I am Valentina and I'm a marketing translator and copywriter. And what I do is actually helps brands expand into Italy and win the Italian arts. I've been working with international brands and SaaS companies as well since 2015. So it's now quite a long time. And I also started helping other translators seeing their full potential and guiding them through finding their voice and winning direct clients, which is something that we always want to do. And I do that through a mentoring program. And I also have a weekly newsletter called the Translator's Corner that now counts more than 900 subscribers, which is like a bit crazy if I think about it. And I talk about mindset shifts and career tips for freelance translators at any stage. And I didn't always like languages, especially English. Like I basically hated English for like while growing up. And it was like I hated it like a school subject. It was my least favorite one. And but I always studied it. Like I took courses because my parents really wanted me to learn English. So I took courses and I studied at a school and I watched a lot of movies and also TV series in English. So I guess that this exposure to the language actually worked, because at some point when I was 18, I took a trip to the United States. And I spent a month there, and suddenly, I don't know, something clicked and I realized that I could actually understand them and speak to them like fluently. So I think that all that language exposure really did something. And so I fell in love with it and I decided to study languages and then translation. And I started working as a translator right after my translation diploma. And with like an internship in a translation agency. And then from there, it took me like 5 years to actually get out of my comfort zone of working with just translation agencies and put my name out there and started to be more active on LinkedIn and eventually landed my first direct clients. And then I never looked back from there.
That's an interesting story, because a lot of people say, oh, I loved English and I was watching movies and music and all kinds of things. But like,
yeah,
it needed to be real for you, I guess. You needed to have real conversations with real people and to get past the like the academic side of it to the using the language in a meaningful way. And
yeah.
That's interesting. And the point about finding direct clients, I was that we had a networking meeting this morning and it came up. As it usually does, it's one of the topics
yeah.
that I can guarantee will come up. A lot of people are really interested in this, but not so much. I guess it's hard to know where to start when it's not something that you're trained in. I think many freelance professionals. Like, I didn't have any background in marketing. If you did, you're lucky, but you have services and you want to find clients, but you have to figure out the whole marketing thing. I don't think you do have to figure it out alone now, but I think in the beginning when I started, I felt pretty much alone with that because there's so many courses about how to do the job that you're being paid for, and you can train in that, but actually there's so much more to running your own business than providing the service that you're paid for.
Yeah, exactly. There is a lot more. We do a lot more than just being like freelancers. And it's really hard at the beginning, like to learn how to do it and how to do it effectively, like in an effective way. So for me, it was, I think I read someone's post on LinkedIn. That actually like shifts my mindset and convinced me of like starting to do more for my business, that like waiting for agencies to send work or just accepting low rates by translation agencies was not all I could get, that there was like a whole world outside of that. And if I learned how to market my services better, how to actually sell my services, I could have access to it. And it was like that in the end. But it was like a lot of trial and errors, and also studying and also trying multiple things. And then I came up with a strategy, like a system that really works for me. And I'm not gonna lie, it's hard, it's not easy, and you really need to be consistent, but it works and it can be fun too.
Yeah, I think a lot of people like don't put those two words in the same sentence, like fun,
I
marketing,
know,
really? No.
I know.
But I think about the last year or so, I think the things that are more fun for me now and are linked to marketing are things that I enjoy doing. It doesn't mean that I find all of them easy and sometimes, oh no, I've got to do this. But I think it's when I started, not as many people were talking about it. Now, lots of people have an idea about, what you should be doing, and oh, you won't have success unless you do this and this. And but it's also about like finding, as you said, the strategy or the structure that works for you, and for you, your personality, like the things that you're good at, the way you want to be. And we're going to get into that a bit more when we talk about not having to be loud to be able to do marketing a bit further on. But I'm interested because you were talking about LinkedIn and being on LinkedIn, and I think that's where I found you originally. But then I subscribed to your newsletter because I really want to learn about the translation industry, because that's where a lot of my work is coming from at the moment. It's something that I'm focusing on, working a lot more with language professionals who want to be more visible in English. But so I signed up for your newsletter because some of the marketing tips are really good for me, but I also want to understand some of the topics that you talk about there. But how did that start for you? Did you just wake up one day and think, "Hey, I want to have a newsletter," or what happened with that, the newsletter?
Well, it all started in 2020, so it's 6 years now. It was just before the pandemic. And basically, it was the year when I started being more active on LinkedIn, the year when everything changed, basically. And because for the first 5 years, like I said, I've been stuck like with agencies and agencies rates and NDAs and all this stuff. So in 2020, I decided I wanted to do something, and I started to be more active on LinkedIn. So I started posting there, and people actually enjoyed what I had to share over there. So I kept getting like DMs from other translators asking me for tips and advice, and I don't know, it felt natural to just expand the audience and starting a newsletter. And like I felt it was very much needed in our industry. And yeah, now I'm talking to like 900 subscribers, something like that. So it feels quite good, to be honest. But the best part is actually when people reply to my emails saying like they feel less alone or they feel seen and that they really appreciate my support, or like you did, like that you something I wrote really resonated with you. And so I really like that, the connections that I can make through that and how I can help people with just an email is really nice.
Yeah, and I've seen people saying, oh, like email doesn't work anymore. But I really don't agree with that. I think email is a very, it doesn't move as fast paced as some of the social media newsletters. If you're signing up for someone's newsletter and they, make it into your inbox, then it stays there. It doesn't get pushed down the feed. It's in your inbox until you read it or delete it, I suppose. But like it's in there. And I think just as a note to everyone, like if you're enjoying someone's newsletter or podcast or videos or whatever, tell them, because it's so nice as a content creator of any kind to get that feedback that something you said has resonated or that somebody learned something. It's really good to get that feedback. So if you're thinking about it, then do it while you're thinking about it, because otherwise
Definitely.
it doesn't get done. So I guess, did the mentoring program come out of having the newsletter and you wanted to formalize some of the help that you were giving to other translators? You wanted to make a program with that?
It definitely came out after the newsletter. I actually started last year, at the beginning of last year, I think, or something maybe earlier, to offer courses to other translators on very specific topics. Because I realized that having the newsletter, like a lot of people were asking advice and stuff like that. So I thought of putting together some courses to offer them some advice. And then what happened is that I realized that they needed more, actually, because I don't know if you experienced that, but I surely do did. When I take a course, sometimes I just take the course, I attend, etc. But after that, I rarely do something like, you know, to change. What I felt that was needed, it was accountability, a lot of accountability, like to have someone actually there for you, to help you see what you couldn't see so far, and to help you also understand that there is another way of doing things that might be better for you, and so you can find your path, and try to find your direct clients as well. So I show them like we usually start with building their personal brand, which means thinking, like a lot of thinking, and what I like to call like answering what I like to call existential questions, like who they are, who they do they want to work with, and what kind of clients they want to attract, and all these kind of things, so we can build their personal brand and their online presence according to who they are and who they want to work with. And I think that it's really the basics, like to really build up on that. And then we'll explore LinkedIn, we see how to build a great profile that attracts the right kind of clients your way, something that is really in line of who you are and how you want to market your services. And then I share my techniques, my strategies, my systems to actually get clients and tailor these to their needs. So I really take them by hand and walk them through all of this. And it lasts 3 months, so it's quite some time to work together and to actually shift their mindset as well and show them all the possibilities they have. And it's really nice, to be honest. It's really good to see them thriving at the end and being more confident, have more clarity, and ha having a strategy which they can rely on. So yeah, it's really good to see this and to witness this change.
And that's long enough as well, isn't it? The 3 months, like you can start to see the results. You can see where the challenges are going to be and help them with that, rather than just saying, these are the tools you need, go and do it now. It's like having that
Yeah,
support as they're going through it.
exactly. And they also have like a to-do list of things to do in like between sessions, the sessions that we have. So they actually have like an actionable plan to follow. So they don't get overwhelmed. They know what they need to do to move forward. And this is really like reassuring and put a lot of frustration at the door, I think.
Yeah, and it's also having someone who's done it, because there are people who are offering services to people who haven't been in that situation.
Yeah.
It's like you've been there, and these are things that, okay, different things work for different people, but you have been there and are doing this alongside the mentoring. You're also translating
Yeah.
and looking for direct clients and.
Exactly. I'm doing the same things that they are doing. So, and I've done them before. I've tested them, so I know what works and what doesn't. So, yeah, I'm really enjoying it, and the past mentees have enjoyed it too so far. So,
And so that's one to one. It's one to one with you. It's not like a group program. It's everyone
no.
has one to one mentorship
Yeah.
with you.
Yeah. It's 1-to-1.
Okay, so just going back to the newsletter then, I'm going to get this right. I'm going to read it. One of the recent newsletters, you said you don't have to be loud to get clients. And that's what got my attention, because then you went into kind of develop this idea in the newsletter. What gave you the idea of writing this, and why did you feel it was important to have a newsletter that was dedicated just to this idea and to expanding it?
I speak to a lot of translators like every week, and most of them think that they need to be someone else to get their clients or to just market their services and be out there, like to be successful, so to speak. They think they need to be loud, they need to be salesy or to post nonstop on LinkedIn like every day. But I truly believe that what actually beats the loudness and the being visible at all costs is actually consistency. So, for example, my marketing strategy is not about sales at all. Just like sales, it's the last thing that I do when I approach, for example, a client. It's more about making connections and talking with people in different industries. And only after making that connection, only after making the other person know that they can actually trust you, that the sales happens. And of course, and only if it feels natural as well. Like, I don't want to force it. I don't want to just connect with someone to tell them, like, I do this, and that, and I'm the best. This is not like the way I like to sell my services. And I think a lot of translators think they have to do that, like approaching a lot of potential clients, saying how good they are and how many, I don't know, languages they speak and stuff like that. So this is not what it is about. And I wanted other translators to actually see that. That it doesn't have to be salesy or pushy or anything like that. So this way, like if you put marketing this way, like making connections, getting to know people, actually being interested in what they have to say, in this way, marketing your services actually become fun and not something you dread anymore. That's why I said that marketing my service is fun now.
Because I think if you think about, like, oh, we have to be loud, it has to be salesy, we automatically have a resistance to that, because we don't want people approaching us like that, and we
Yeah,
don't want to be like
exactly.
that. So then you make this connection, like, oh, marketing is like that, so I hate marketing. Like, so
Yeah.
it's almost sabotaging yourself before you start, because you've convinced yourself that it has to be something that you don't want to do and don't want to be. And I think, to be fair, part of the reason why we have these ideas is that I hope it's improved now, but some of the marketing courses were very much like that in the
Yeah.
past. Some of the ones that I've seen, even one that I went on, and I hated it,
Yeah.
because it was very much like that. And I think there are better ways, like LinkedIn, for example. I find a lot of my work nowadays through LinkedIn, but I have more conversations that nobody else sees than it's not all about the, I mean, I do post on LinkedIn, but it's not all about that. It's about all those other conversations with people that are not there in the public and with everyone watching. I think people forget that sometimes there are lots of other ways commenting on other people's content or having conversations with people. It doesn't all have to be like I need to be the center of attention in order to get
Yeah,
noticed.
exactly. Yeah, I think that having conversation with people is the most important thing we can do. And like also having a network of other translators, of other freelancers that can actually recommend you, refer you to their existing clients or have you as their backup, for example. It's a really great way to find clients and also to find new friends as well, which never hurts.
And also it helps if they're like on LinkedIn, there are a couple of I can think of a couple of times where somebody has tagged me like, oh, Kirsty does that, Kirsty talks about
Yeah,
that. Well,
exactly.
I didn't see the post. I didn't know it was there, but someone else did, and they so if you've got people who are looking out for you and you do the same for them, then it's nice to have colleagues, although we don't technically, if we're freelancers, we don't have colleagues, but to
But
find our
yeah,
colleagues, the ones we like.
Yeah.
That's the thing that we have that people who are employed don't have. You can choose your colleagues.
Yeah.
So we kind of touched on this already about some of the misconceptions, but can you think of any more in terms of, okay, we don't need to be super loud and there are other ways, but do you think there are other misconceptions that people have about marketing and that might make them not want to do it?
I think a lot of translators also think that the marketing like strategies that works for other freelancers like in other industries don't work in our industry because it's too different, like it's peculiar and stuff like that. But I don't think it's true, and I think the biggest challenge we have like as freelance translator is imposter syndrome. Which doesn't always allow us to show what we're actually good at and to talk about ourselves and our services. So I think this is what leads us to often dread marketing because we are a bit like introverted by nature, so we think that, as we said, we need to be everywhere and we need to be super like visible and post every day or contacting a lot of people telling that we are very good at doing what we do. But it's not that really. Like marketing is not all about that. And there are a lot of strategies that works for other industry that really works well for our industry as well. We just need to step out a bit of our comfort zone and try a few things and see what actually works for us.
Yeah, because
But
that's when you
this.
find out what does work and what you like. And I guess everything that's new does feel different and maybe a bit scary. Even like when I started working in this language industry area more, like for me that was different. Like I was attending different events and I was thinking, oh, this is new, even though my role wasn't new. What I'm offering, okay, there may be some new programs, but essentially the work that I've been doing, it isn't new because I've been doing it for a longer time. But as soon as you start doing a new activity, like approaching a certain type of potential client or showing up in a different way. I think at the beginning of the podcast, that was new for me. I was like, oh, will it work? Will anyone listen to my podcast? Like everything you do that's new is going to feel a bit. And I think sometimes, particularly for people maybe who are a bit more experienced as well, it feels good to be experienced in the thing that you're doing. But then if you start a new activity, you feel like you're going back to basics in a way because the activity is new. It doesn't detract from your experience or your knowledge of your subject area. But if you've never, I don't know, written a newsletter before or made a podcast episode before or started approaching others because you're used to having projects being delivered without you having to really hunt for them. Everything feels new and a bit pretty scary, but it's
Yeah.
like being scared and being excited are actually very close. Sometimes I'm
True.
reframing it because I was like, oh, this is an adventure. And maybe seeing things as like an experiment as well, like to see, okay, I don't know if I'm gonna like this. If I do, I'll keep doing it. If I don't, I'll try something else. I don't mean giving up
Yeah,
on things after
exactly.
2 seconds because you didn't see immediate results, but I do believe that we have this idea we have to find the right way straight away. And the older I get, the more things I start, I think, well, it doesn't have to be like that. You can, the only way you really know is if you try, and then you can figure out if you like that thing or if you want to keep doing that thing.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
So I think like the hardest step with any journey then is often the first one. And sometimes people who are in the networking, for example, say that they want more direct clients, but they don't know where to start. And then it feels big. And so the obviously there's your mentoring program. But
Yeah.
if somebody wanted to do just one small thing today, like how could somebody who hasn't been very visible be a little bit more visible today? Like what's one small thing that they can do? Or do you think all the initial work has to be done first? Or do you think it can they be do you think they can run alongside each other, like becoming more visible as well, reminding people who they are?
Yeah, I think they can be done alongside, even though it's very important like to understand who you are as a translator and who do you want to work with to really understand who you want to target. But one thing that I suggest to do is to start connecting with people, like start with other translators at the beginning, so you can get more confident in talking to people, in sending DMs and sending connection requests, and also ask them for a coffee chat to talk more about your business, your strategy, your work, your life, whatever comes to your mind, so you can get more comfortable in actually talking to more people, having calls and stuff like that. And then go ahead and start connecting with potential clients. But never underestimate the power of your network, because like a lot of my best clients came from there, from other translators recommending me to their existing clients or having me as their backup with bigger projects and stuff like that. So yeah, the first step I would take is start connecting with other translators first.
Yeah, because they're not gonna, they're like colleagues. I mean, I'm not a translator, but I connect with a lot of translators in what I do with,
Yeah.
and most of the time people are really, I think it depends how you send your messages as well, that you can, if you're obnoxious, people are not gonna wanna, but I
Yeah.
found people to be really kind of open and interested and willing to get together.
Yeah, the translators community on LinkedIn is very nice, very kind. So,
Yeah,
yeah.
and willing to help. I've seen people recommending each
Yeah.
other, people who weren't there maybe at an event, but someone else. Oh, you should talk to,
Exactly. Yeah. We are nice people.
Yeah, and I think that's a good advice for first steps, but also thinking, okay, sometimes I don't think we have thought about, okay, who am I? What do I want? Not just what's available, what do I want more of? What do I want less of? What do I not?
Yeah, that's important as well.
What kind of people do I love working with? What kind of people irritate me?
Yeah. Yeah, it's really important to understand that to actually like attract the right kind of clients our way, because we don't want to work with clients that underestimate our work or just pay low rates and stuff like that. And with the all AI things going on, it's really important like to attract the right kind of clients.
And I guess also thinking about the value as well, not just the
Yeah.
service.
Yeah, of
And
course. It's all about value right now, because if you just say that you offer translation services, they will say, okay, but AI can do that. But we actually do a lot more of just translating. We do language consultancy, we do cultural consultancy, and a lot of things that AI can't do right now. So we really need to make the clients understand our value, the value that they will have in working with us, and focus on that rather than saying I'm a translator, but more a language consultant, for example, or a cultural consultant, and actually focus on what value the client could get by working with us. Like, for example, if it's a brand, it could be more sales in your target language country, or more conversion rates, a higher conversion rate in their website, or a stronger community in your target language country. You know, all these things that are actually tangible for them, and not just like having really good copy in Italian, for example.
Yeah, I think we can undersell ourselves, but I don't think I've told the story on the podcast before. I think I mentioned it on LinkedIn, but I'm taking Portuguese classes as a learner, and we had an exercise where I had to talk about some of my services in English and then talk about them in Portuguese. And obviously the English one was better because it's my first language. But the thing that really stood out to both me and the teacher, because I had to listen, I didn't want to listen to them again, but I had to, was in the English ones, I was talking a lot more about the value and the results. And with the Portuguese one, where I got a bit more nervous, I was talking about like how it works, what we do. Well, it was very information heavy, but less emphasis on the results and on the value to the customer. So as well, I think, as well as not underselling ourselves, just be aware that if we're doing that in an additional language as well, that that's something to be aware of. Because and to think, how would I do this in my first language, and then how to make sure that it's in line with how you talk about those services in your first language, and that you're not simplifying things because you're not taking some of the language risks. You want it to be right, so you don't say those extra things that you might say in another language.
I'm actually better at selling my services in English than I am in Italian.
Then you're lucky. But I think you've been doing that for a longer time. I think maybe it's for when you start talking about yourself, or if you haven't done that in your additional languages, there is a tendency to play it a bit more safe. And
It feels so weird to speak about my work in Italian. I don't know, I never find the right words.
okay.
It's so much easier for me to do it in English.
Do you target Italian speaking clients, or is it more like you're bringing
No.
people to the Italian market, aren't you? So you're not going to need those.
Yeah, no, I never work with Italian clients.
Yeah, so that's and maybe it's the same for other people who have been in this situation longer, but I think it's something to kind of watch out for, either when you're writing or when you're talking. If you haven't had as much experience with that because you haven't done it before, then look out that you don't sabotage yourself like I did, because it's sometimes there's a lot more you
That's
could
a good
say
tip. I
that
think
would.
I would be it would be really bad for me if I sell my services in French, which is my other language, but I'm not really confident in speaking it. I can see your point.
So you've got both, you've got English and French into Italian. Okay. So where do you spend most time? So are you mainly on LinkedIn? So you've got LinkedIn and your newsletter, or people want to connect with you?
Yes, it's LinkedIn and newsletter. I have also an Instagram account, but I stopped updating it because it was really time consuming and it was not for me. So to speak about what marketing strategy doesn't work for us. So I found out that Instagram doesn't work for me. So I
I
stopped
never
being
fell in
there.
love with Instagram. I had to
No.
an empty account for a while, but I just couldn't, it just didn't. So, and if you know that, I think it's good. Like
Yeah.
doing one or two platforms really well is better than having five that you either
Yeah,
copy
exactly.
content or just abandon. Like,
Yeah, it was just too overwhelming to have that too. So I said, okay, it's not for me. I will focus on LinkedIn and the newsletter.
okay, so just to finish you up then, what other things can people expect to see? Like we talked about one specific newsletter topic today, but what other things do you like to write about in your newsletter if people are thinking about subscribing?
I'd like to talk about a lot of mindset shift, and because I think that's the first part that we need to work on. Like, we need to remove some blocks that we have, like that we can only work with agencies, that there are no direct clients out there, that the AI is ruining everything and the industry is dead, and there's a lot of negativity going around in the translation industry, especially lately. So I want to keep that translator corner really like positive and always honest, and I also share my experiences with clients, how I win them, but how I lost them as well. Because my main goal is to not make other translators feel alone in this, because we are all in the same boat. So I really like to share my experience with them and also share tips and what worked for me, what didn't work, and yeah. That's pretty much it, I think. And I got a lot of emails saying like they feel less alone, that what I wrote really resonated with them, and they didn't realize that they weren't actually alone in this, that I actually experienced the same thing, or like I really like this sense of community. So that's what I'm trying to keep sharing with them. And from time to time, I also share about the mentoring program, but no spam, I promise. And yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I think that's really important, especially for those of us who work alone. Or like if you have a bad day or something doesn't go right, it's easy to feel, oh, I'm the only person that this is happening to,
Yeah.
because you don't have an office full of colleagues around, which I'm actually happy about. I like being here in this room on my own,
Yeah, me too.
but at the same time, it's good to have people that you can share the good times and the challenging times with, because I think a lot
Yeah.
of the time, some LinkedIn content can be very focused on, oh, these great things happen this month, but it's life is a balance and
Yeah.
there's struggles as well. And it's also good to know that that there are other people around that get it if you want to talk about some of the things that are more of a challenge.
Yeah.
Okay, so I will include your LinkedIn link and your newsletter link on our show notes page. And thank
Thank
you for
you.
coming to talk with us. Thank you for sharing. And thank you for hopefully making the idea of marketing a bit less scary and a bit more
Yeah,
fun.
I hope I did that. And thank you again for having me. It was really nice to meet you and to record this.
Yeah, definitely. Let's stay in touch.
Yeah.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the English with Kirsty podcast. If you have any questions or comments, my email address is kirsty@englishwithkirsty.com, or you can go to www.englishwithkirsty.com/podcast, where you'll find information about the individual episodes.